The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let me take the opportunity to dive right into my interview this afternoon with you guys. A very, very interesting one as well. I'm going to be speaking to the head of the Islamic Front, the gentleman known as Umar Abdullah. Mr. Abdullah, good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And,
pleasant good afternoon to all your viewers and listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I sought your interview with you this afternoon because of what was written recently, and I shared it with my producer, and we sort of want to get in touch with you. Now, I am very disturbed by some of the things that happened and continue to happen in the prison service, right? So, in what was written by you, all right, you talked about the pursuit of transparency for justice, which demand answers and accountability from the prison authorities responsible for overseeing the prison system. You talk about the voices of the victims and their families must be heard, and meaningful action must be taken to prevent similar tragedies from occurring in the future. You talk about all individuals with knowledge of the event to come forward and provide testimony to ensure that justice was served. It is crucial that those responsible for Sheldon Brong's death — now Sheldon Brong is a prisoner that lost his life from a fracas that took place, a fracas in the prison system, the Port of Spain prison system. Was it last week? So, I mean, Mr. Abdullah, with respect to what was written here and the allegations of brutality and misconduct by certain prison officers, and of course their names were mentioned, what are your thoughts? What are you hoping to come out of this?
Well, first of all, I want to make mention of the fact that it's not just out of this incident that I have raised these concerns and these questions. Mm. Over the past, there have been many instances within the prison system that would have attracted me to comment and to make statements calling on the prison authorities to address these issues.
Okay.
As they were to arise.
I
would have had many meetings.
No, I was going to say, I don't mean to cut you, but you mentioned something that I think is very salient that we must get some clarifications on. You said it's not the first time that you raise issues on incidents that happen in prison. For the benefit of my listenership, I would like you to, if you can, highlight some of these issues that came up that caught your attention, that you sought meetings with the authorities.
Right. There were many incidents in the past where there were riots and there were injuries sustained by the prisoners. There were instances where prisoners would have had gone on hunger strikes, all right? They were refusing their diets, and I would have had to intervene at those times. I would have had meetings, many meetings with the commissioners at the time. And, going back a couple of years, I would say 3-4 years going back, three, four commissioners going back, I would have had meetings with all of them and sat and discuss ways and means and how we could address some of these issues and how I can, perhaps contribute to what is happening in the prison and change that kind of that type of behavior that is coming both from the prisoners and also the prison officers. Nothing has been done substantially to date. I am hoping that this present situation, with the death of this prisoner, some doors would open up for us where we would have those type of discussions. Prior to this incident, I would have had, and I'm talking about just a couple of weeks ago, I would have had conversation with the Commissioner of Prisons, speaking to him about a proposal, a program that I have, crafted, that I want to introduce into the prison system amongst the Muslim prisoners.
My apologies, Mr. Abdullah, here.
That's okay. Right.
My apologies. I just had a little something that happened in the studio here. Now.
Right. So what I'm saying is that. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Right. So what I'm saying is that I would have had recent conversations with the present commissioner about a program that I have spoken to him about that I want to introduce in the prison, that I want to roll out in the prison specifically for the Muslim inmates. And I would have expressed to him that this program does have the element, all the elements that would perhaps change some of the life perspective that these prisoners would have within themselves and so on. And we are hoping that by rolling out this program, it's a 6-month program, and we're hoping by rolling out this program, we would be able to achieve, a number of, positive things coming out of it. One of it, reflecting directly to the high rise in crime in Trinidad and Tobago. And we are hoping out of this program, we would see a reduction in, crime and criminal activities. Because we believe that, it is very important for us to address these issues within the prison system. Because a lot of the crimes that are taking place are as a result of our failure to address prison reform and to properly deal with these prisoners when they come into prison for bearing crimes. Now, we have to agree that a lot of these prisoners are not guilty of the crime that they have been charged for. And I must say at this point in time, there is a great possibility that Sherlan Brown was innocent of the crime that he was charged for. We have already started to look into that matter, and we are going to, give that information as it does come by. But as I said, imagine you being charged for a crime that you did not commit. You have to wait in prison under the conditions that's meted out to you. Under those conditions, you're innocent, and you lost your life in that institution. Your mother came to see you, and your mother was practically bawling down the place in the hospital to see her son, and she was unable to see her son. She was unable to comfort her son. Her son was unable to get comfort from his mother before he passed. This is a very sad day indeed for Trinidad and Tobago, not just the prison service, but for the entire population here in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mr. Abdullah, I feel what you're talking about, and I hear you on that, and I think, for me, going to the prison authorities for these type of programs, they alone are not the ones that can institute it. I think this has to come from the head of the National Security Council. It has to come from the leader of the government that governs the country. It has to come through those channels, and I'll tell you why. I hear what you talk about, the reintegration of persons into society, and it doesn't just affect Trinidad and Tobago alone. It's a thing that's global. If you look at the U.S. system, when a convict felon comes out, to get work is very difficult. We want people to change, but we are not ready to accept them if and when they do. We're not ready for that, because if a person was charged with larceny and theft, we don't want that person working for us, because we're afraid they're going to steal from us. Even though they would have gone through programs in the prison to help them reform and to help them think. What I think, for me, Mr. Abdullah, is the entire environment in which these prisoners have to exist in, it is totally inhumane. I have seen images. I have spoken to prison officers privately, because you can't get them to speak on national radio without permission, and if they do, they will be tailored as to what they can say. But I've had prison officers that shared with me the conditions. They say, listen, the first time they went in there to work, they vomit. Mr. Abdullah, yeah. I am being told that
it's not heartening, to say the least. I just want to add here that as you talk about the prison condition, I would have received reports, because presently what we are trying to do, we are trying to advocate for the Muslim prisoners to at least get a halal meal in the prison system. And you know, now is the month of Ramadan, and we would have tried to make some advances and interventions with regards to the prison authorities in asking them to, you know, to tamper some of their restrictions and so on, to allow for the proper engagement of our Muslim brothers and sisters in prison to practice their religion. And there are a number of different aspects of the worship during this month that is very vital and important. And what it does, once a Muslim is able to commit themselves to it, what it does, it changes that individual. It changes that individual in at that moment. It changes that individual in that space and in that time. And you know what it does, it somehow reflects on the everyday living of that person going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by allowing this to happen in the month of Ramadan within the prison, I think you would have been achieving a whole lot as regards to turning around the mindset of some of these individuals. Now, we're not saying that all of them are bad, right? But those who are guilty of the crimes that they commit, all right, we need to treat with them. There's a reason why they committed those crimes. Circumstances, culture, the area in which they grew and they grew up, the kind of mentoring and nurturing that they received while they were growing up. We all have had a part to play in the upbringing of these individuals and the final product that we have sitting in prison. We as a society has to hold ourselves responsible, and the politicians more so important. The politicians, they do not address any issue that has no political value. And I will tell you right now, the prison has no political value. Prisoners, they have zero political value. And hence the reason why we may see from time and time, you know, administration to administration would have overlooked these very important aspects of looking into the, you know, reform of the prison system and addressing those issues as we speak. In the month of Ramadan, we have our brothers and sisters breaking fast at after sunset, mm-hmm. or around sunset, around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the prison, there's a policy. All the food that is cooked, it has to be dumped at 4 o'clock, right? Anything that is left back, it has to be dumped at 4 o'clock, because according to prison rules and policy, it is not fit for human consumption after that. You know what they do in the month of Ramadan? They save this food that according to prison rules, they have to dump, and they feed it to the Muslim prisoners to break their fast in the evening.
Wow.
This cannot be allowed to continue to happen. We've gotten reports that persons who work in the prison, in the kitchen, from the time the food started to taste good and they're cooking the food and the food tasting good, they just move them from the kitchen because the policy is that the food should not taste good.
So you must be treated like a dog. You must be treated less than human.
Right.
No.
So these are some of the things that has a ripple effect psychologically on persons who are in the system, in the prison. You can imagine a man who does not have love in his heart. He does not have compassion. And he commits a crime outside here in the free world. And he's arrested and he's taken into that place. Could you imagine when that man comes out from there, what he's going to become?
Mr. Abdullah, permit me to take a call if you don't mind. We could take a couple calls. All right, 627-3223 and 625-2257. You can also WhatsApp me at 306-1065. I saw my line blinking a few moments ago. Mr. Abdullah, recently a video surfaced, and I talked about it on my show. And as you mentioned, going into the prison system and coming out 10 times worse than you went in. So you already have that wicked mentality, and you're going in there. There was a gentleman that came up on the social media and said he was adamant, he was anxious to for the war to start between them and the police, because he fully dunce, he fully evil, and he's fully wicked. That was his words. I fully dunce. I fully wicked. So he has this mindset. Now he's fully dead. And I don't wish death on anyone. But sometimes you believe the world is a better place without individuals like that, because with that mindset, it no telling what could happen. So I'm not saying that, you know, we're supposed to be proud. But he's dead today at the hands of, we can guess, right? We can make a very educated guess. Because after that video surfaced, people started putting up, you know, they go come fame. And things happened. You know, the police will say they find a weapon. I have a call coming through. Good afternoon.
Good evening, sir, and to Mr. Abdullah.
Mr. Abdullah, yes.
Good afternoon.
I'm listening to your program, and, you know, the state of this island and the crimes that is committed. A crime is committed by an individual that has, as far as I am concerned, that a crime is committed by these individuals. He has absolutely no religious mind at that point of this crime. He could be Catholic, Hindu, Muslim, whatever. They commit the crime, and they are placed in jail. I understand that whilst you are incarcerated, and for instance, you are referring to your Muslim brother, I have Muslim friends, right? I have no beef with no Muslim, but I have a beef with incarcerated individuals for crime, young boys who knows what they're doing. And you are talking about being humane. Well, unfortunately, you will not present, he or she, while committing the crime, did not grant the same to the person or persons that they have committed the crime to. And you are saying that they are treated inhumanely. I mean, a human right to survive, a human right to have a peace of mind and a peace of comfort. And these criminals take it away from you. And it is, I find it so hard in my mind to grant these individuals of these heinous crimes, whether you are referring to your Muslim brothers, to be compassionate to them in an incarcerated scenario that they are fully aware that's where they will end up, that they should get a courtesy. I find that so distasteful, honestly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, caller. Mr. Abdullah?
Just to respond to the caller. First of all, I want to make it up. But please excuse my voice. I'm now coming out of the flu that I had recently.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it absolutely clear that I am not just speaking on behalf of my Muslim brothers and sisters. I make mention of them because obviously I'm a Muslim. This is the month of Ramadan, and there are some serious concerns that we had moving or coming into the month of Ramadan, and I express some of those issues. But I'm actually speaking on behalf of all the prison inmates. Now, we have to understand there are two categories of prisoners within our prison system. They are the convicted prisoners, and they are the remanded prisoners. Remanded prisoners are subject to court process, and whether or not the courts find them guilty or not, they would come out side again, or they would be subjected to a prison sentence, and mm-hmm. they would have to spend some time in prison.
Some more time in prison.
Mm-hmm. All what I'm saying here, it's happening to the remanded prisoners. These prisoners are going to come back outside, whether they've been charged for whatever crime. All right? So you're telling me that it is okay because you know a person has been charged for a crime, whether he's guilty or not,
mm-hmm.
and he's placed in remand. He's going to have to come back out in the community and face you Wouldn't you want him to come back out a changed man? Wouldn't you want him to come back out a different person? That's why it is so important to address the rehabilitation of inmates or remanded prisoners or persons who go into prison, whether they're convicted or not, before they come back out in society. We have many options for them to come back out in society.
I agree. Let me take this call here with you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I now tune into your program like about 2 minutes ago. I got the gist of what you all talking about. Listen, criminals have no regard for life, for law, for nothing. Right? The only thing that you could compare them to that they have no regard for that is an animal. And some of these crimes taking place in this country, these criminals are like animals. Right? I understand what the gentleman is saying about treating criminals with dignity and whatnot. But I agree with one of your callers that they did not met out the same dignity and humanity when they were committing the crimes and as should be treated as such. Why should the taxpayer of this country, right, an innocent person working hard, have to fund a person who can't behave themselves? A program for that. Why we can't lock them up and throw away the key? Eh? Why should they be? Why should they have the right to go and kill somebody, right, and get 30 years in jail and come out? No, from the time you kill somebody, and for me, you forfeit your own life, brothers. Either life imprisonment without the possibility of parole or the death penalty. And that's how I seen it. And that's, I think, most people in this country, around the world, law-abiding citizens, right, who take the grind in and out, because they tell me, I'd rather sell pump city on the side of the road than go and rob somebody or sell cocaine or some kind of thing, right? So criminals have no regard for this, for society or for human life. And from the time you kill somebody, you traffic a human being. That is it. Or you're a pedophile and you destroy a child's life, or you rape a woman or some kind of thing. Nah, lock them up and throw away the key. But there are no humanity there again. Thanks a lot.
Now, Mr. Abdullah, with respect to that caller, I think it's coming from a place of frustration. We have reached a place in this society where we are frustrated. We are getting very low detection rate from the police and the law enforcement officials. And when we do get detection rate, whatever little is given, it is treated with scant courtesy as persons sit down in the prison system for years, sometimes 2 decades. And with that 2 decades is our taxpayers. And then some of them come out on bail on multiple offenses. You hear they have 2-3 case before the court, and they come out and they commit a crime and they die. So I think people are speaking from a place of frustration. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Mr. Abdullah, I understand exactly what you're saying, you know. But you know, I have a lot of Muslim family, a lot of Muslim friends. I understand the concern you have where it's Eid time now, and you know you need to break the fast the right time and not give them the spoiled food and so on. But you know, you also have to put yourself in the position of the citizens, especially.
I'm not hearing them clearly at all.
Who have that the experience of being robbed and other criminal activity, and you have to understand that. I understand that you want them to come out reformed and so on, but the system is failing in many ways, because there's certain of those prisoners that you are talking about, and I know you're talking about all of them. Is that the prisons, because there's different type of crime, and you know, because of a certain crime, you could, you know, you put it in certain departments and you treat them according and reform them. But let me tell you something, if some of them partner, they cannot be reformed. And I agree with the last caller 110%. Okay, sir? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. I will give you an opportunity.
I didn't get clearly what he was saying.
Well, he kind of going on, the phone ringing off the hooker, he kind of going down on a road where, you know, similarly to what we are saying, is all about prison reform. And, you know, he said he agreed with the previous caller who said why we as taxpayers should fund any sort of rehabilitation program. Now, I disagree with that. We should fund it. It should be there. I think everybody deserves, because not, as you rightfully said, Mr. Abdullah, earlier in the interview, not everybody sitting along in the remand section is guilty of the crime that they were charged. Not everybody is guilty of it. However, circumstantial evidence, the police feel that they have enough to bring, they're desperate to find the clues, to bring closure to the case or whatever, they charge you. You end up in there.
That is why. So what we are saying is that absolute care must be taken, especially when it comes to the remanded prisoners, because you don't want, they were half good, half bad before they came in. Let's take that scenario.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So we don't want them going back out 100% bad.
That is the thing.
Right? Because of what it is they would have experienced there in the prison. And not only that, remember in there, you are coming into contact with a number of other criminals.
Who are angry.
So-called criminals.
So-called criminals, allegedly.
You understand? And you don't know what sort of influence these persons may have on them.
And that's another thing. Right? Persons being charged for various offenses, and they all housed in one pillow.
Yeah.
As with murderers, rapists, there's no separation.
All of them in one cell.
So you have a person that may have committed their first offense in terms of maybe they went into the neighbor's house and they stole something. They ain't killed nobody.
So the question we must ask ourselves, are we serious about solving crime and addressing our crime issue in this country? Are we serious about addressing poverty, which is one of the leading causes of persons leading a life of crime?
All right.
How serious are we in Trinidad and Tobago? Just the other day, we had this fiasco that took place.
Mm-hmm.
A grave was discovered in the back of a man's house.
Yeah, boy. Something that you don't see
all
in Trinidad.
All speculation pointed fingers in the direction of the man. The man ran away. He hide. The police catch him. Thing. A woman in the village, a woman living next door, indicated that she would have reported hearing noises in the house. She went to the police, children authority, they never took a report. How are you going to investigate that? What are you going to charge the man with? You have a grave, you have a dead body, you living in the house. How are you going to tie that man to that dead body?
Well, that is why,
in the first instance, the police did not respond.
Well, that is why the director of public prosecutions came in for high praises with me on a previous show that I did a couple of weeks back, when he ordered or gave the advice to the police. I don't want to use the word ordered. I may be careful with my words. When he said to the police, there is not enough evidence to charge this person, allow those parents to go home and you all get your evidence and come back.
Yeah.
So
he's quite right.
And he's right.
And he's quite right.
He's right.
And let
right.
me tell you something. People may sit home in their homes listening to this interview and they may feel like Umar Abdullah is for the criminals. I'm not for the criminals, brother.
Well, let me take
if
a
you
call.
Do a crime, as a matter of fact, let me state it emphatically clearly on this program. I am for the death. I am for the death penalty.
Okay.
Right? Let me state emphatically clear. I am for the death penalty.
Okay, pause a
but
minute.
You have to be sure.
Sure, before you can put somebody like that.
You
I agree.
You have to be sure.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davy, and good afternoon, Omar. You know, your two previous callers, Davy, I'd like to tell you how arrogant in this country. The man is speaking about people on remand, and you want to avoid recidivism. You want to avoid that. And in avoiding that, you pay attention as to whether we want to have review, if you have a parole system where you put somebody in charge of a prisoner or somebody who may have committed a crime to get them back out in the society. That is not a bad thing. It happens all over the world. Your two previous callers motivated and dead, and because that's the problem there. No? Now, I am not saying that crimes out here don't deserve it, you know, it's whatever the penalty or whatever when you're convicted. But still, there's a humanitarian aspect. When somebody's convicted and you place them in prison, you can't kill them and do them anything for life just loosely. They have a right inside there. But I'm in agreement with him in relation to avoiding recidivism. And to deal with it in a more organized manner based on structure. Nothing is wrong with that. Nothing is wrong with that. Good program.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. Hello. Good afternoon.
JV.
Good afternoon.
Let me just take off this video. I want to join your conversation. I spent a long while here. You know who we're talking there?
No. Oh, yes. I know who it is.
Right. I mean, I didn't want to go along too because I know Paral 20. I want to call and tell you something. I ain't talking about the prison system. You see the prisoners? You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
You see the prisoners and the prison officers? Them, none of them are better than none of them. You know? The both of them is the same thing. Officers is a traffic real thing for me. I used to work in the ASP quarters.
Mm.
I want the commissioner of prison to know who I is and who I used to work for calendar. And I went even hooked to these days. I could tell that thing. I didn't want to come on the media to tell them thing, you know, but I could tell you the story. It's the officers and the prisoners, when I say they're rotten, it's them who committing this crime. Officers that send men outside in the free world to rob people and do people disrespectful things. I know officers outside in free world while living around here. I know officers do them nasty. Police too. Oh. I bash in the boat of them on the two sides, just like UNC and PNM. None of them are good. They're rotten out. You know what I learned from you on Satish? Stay by yourself and listen to all them and could learn something. That is why I doesn't want to get in nobody's way.
All right.
You hear me?
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you very much. Now, that gentleman that just spoke there, Mr. Abdullah, was a former prisoner. And he had some stories, some experiences that he shared with me off air that when I heard it, I was in a state of bewilderment. I could not believe what was taking place behind bars. And then I got some video footage from some other persons. And I can tell you, I can only imagine, but we have a couple minutes to go before we wrap the interview. Can you just, from your knowledge and your standpoint, what do you know that really triggered that fracas that took place at the Port of Spain remand section of the prison? What really triggered it?
It was just plain mischievous attempt at the prison officers to ridicule one of the prisoners.
No.
He was a Muslim brother. He had actually gone to take a bath. And while coming back in, there was a gate that they actually have to exit and enter.
Uh-huh.
And that gate, the officer refused to open the gate to allow the prisoner to go back into his cell.
Mm.
Because, like with everything else, they're anxious to go back to their cell to secure their belongings. They don't want anybody.
Yeah.
Right? So he wanted to go back to his cell. And this particular Muslim brother, he suffered from fits, you understand?
Mm.
And the officers started to hit him, you understand, and make fun of him and so on. And it started to get more and more serious. And eventually he was able to break free through the gate and run to the cell, but officers went behind him and started beating him and so on. But I made the point in my, it was in my press release, that particular day, that brother, he suffered from epilepsy, and that was World Epilepsy Day, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that officer didn't even recognize and respected that was World Epilepsy Day, and this man, you ought to respect, give some respect to this prisoner, how could we expect that in the month of Ramadan you interfere with a Muslim prisoner?
Yeah.
You understand?
I got you.
And that is what started. So other prisoners started to come forward and in defense of the man and to tell the prisoner, do not hit the man. The man is suffering from fits, right? The man is fasting, all of this, right? Mm. And they didn't want to hear anything of the sort. And they exacerbated the entire incident, and that's how we had the incident happen, how it was. But we have witnesses that is willing to come forward.
Well, this
I spoke with certain persons involved in the investigation, and I indicated such to them. And I think it will be well within the fairness of the investigation to speak with these individuals and provide for them the safety and security that they deserve, because they'll be coming forward to speak the truth.
All right.
And they would need some protection. But before we end, let me just say this. What we need to do in Trinidad and Tobago, we need to get involved more the religious organizations. They need to get more involved in the work in the communities, I'm calling on them to get in contact with all the NGOs and the other organizations that operate within the communities, and see how you can come up with a plan, see how we can come up with some mechanism that is going to treat with the issue of, you know, these type of, you know, behavior in our public spaces. Once I think that is done, I think the government is going to start paying attention. They're responsible for policy, and they perhaps would want to join in that effort once they see that they're having success. And we are going to get success.
All right.
I don't think that the church leaders and the groups, they're doing enough. I don't think that the NGOs and we're not doing enough. We need to do more. We need to do the work before these guys are being put in handcuffs and taken behind those walls.
Mr.
We
Abdullah,
need to prevent them from going there.
I want to thank
our
you.
Work starts. Our work starts from now.
I agree. I was going to get to that point, but we ran out of time. So I will be in touch with you, and I think in the not too distant future we'll do a part two to this conversation, maybe by next week or so. God spare life. All will be well, and we should reach out to you again. But thank you very much for joining me on the program this afternoon. We need more time to talk more about this. Thank you so much. Okay.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.